put it back up.
Yep, yep.
Morning.
Yep, I am.
So, what translation do most people read here?
NIV.
NIV.
The King James.
The King James.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
ESV on the phone.
Okay, what I'm going to do then, I'm going to read from the NET Bible. Do you know the NET Bible?
NET.
NET. N-E-T. N-E-T. I mean, as well, we've all got a hotchpotch. I just thought I'd come in with Aya.
Yeah.
Don't know. But I was reading it this morning, so... right. So we're going to... You might say I might be padding out time here, but... But I did have something that I was going to speak on, and then this morning, a mini crisis occurred for me, and I thought, I can't speak on that. And then I went over to my place of inspiration. I was up early this morning to, there's a field in Mountain Ash where I used to play rugby, and I just always go there for my place of inspiration. And I felt that God said, I will meet you in this. And so what I had prepared, I haven't no more. So I've got a few thoughts on basically how to behave or how to respond in a crisis. And I thought, where do we go for that? And God seemed to put on my heart Galatians 5. So I haven't done an in-depth study on this, so I can't tell you the Greek of every word and whatever, but I just, in a sense, this is probably a few thoughts that I'm throwing out there. So let's read Galatians chapter 5. Let's read the whole thing. So Galatians is written by Paul to the church in Galatia. It seems that, if I've got this correct, it seems that these people are saying faith in Jesus isn't enough. We need to go back to the Jewish laws. And Paul is saying no. And he uses some strong language in it, where he says, at times, you foolish Galatians. Basically, he's saying, Jesus is the way. Faith and trust in Jesus is the way. Don't go back to that old way. Stay on Jesus. He is the only way. So, let's read all of chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you at all. And I testify again to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait expectantly for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision carries any weight. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise. I am confident in the Lord that you will accept no other view. But the one who is confusing you will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Now, brothers and sisters, if I am preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those agitators would go so far as to castrate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, namely, you must love your neighbour as yourself. However, if you continually bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. Joseph. She's dropped him off for me. She's gone. Yeah. Chris has had a rough night. So, sorry, guys. I'm slightly. I've never babysat while preaching, so.
It'll be fine.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Right. What a bizarre situation.
Children aren't just for Christmas.
Right, verse 15. However, if you continually bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, depravity, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envy, and murder, drunkenness, carousing, and similar things. There's a lot of them, isn't there? And you'll see that there's a lot more of those than there are of the fruit of the Spirit. I am warning you, as I had warned you before, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to notice the word practice there. We'll come on to that a bit later. But the fruit, and remember this now, is it fruits or fruit? It is fruit. I didn't realize this until a preacher pointed it out to me. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. It's one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, being jealous of one another. Right, Rose.
Yes.
Do you wanna take him upstairs then? Because I'll be distracted.
Yeah.
Joe. Okay, take the cars up.
I'm taking my coffee now.
Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, bye, and don't jump up and down on the floor. Okay. Neither you nor Rose either. Right. So, man, this is a morning of distractions. And I think Mandy came last week, didn't she? And she said she'd prepared something, and then she felt, no, that's not the right thing. I didn't necessarily feel that. It was just that I came to a point this morning, I think, I can't preach on that. I need to get my heart right, I need to put my heart right, and all of that. So I've got a few scribbled notes. But I thought to myself, surely the title has to be, how do you behave in a crisis? How do you respond to a crisis?
That would be a child being dropped off after 3 seconds.
Well, that's the other crisis, man. Yeah. I can't believe it. And then she got in the car and drove off.
Note self, domestic later.
So I just thought, like, and I was thinking about crises, that crises take on a form of different guises, don't they? You know, so my crisis might be different from your crisis. But part of me was thinking, and please talk to me after about this, because I'd love to know if I'm off the mark or on the mark. But I think that what I'm going to bring you today is sort of, in a sense, a global thing for how we deal with any crisis. Some are more difficult than others. But I may be wrong on that. I've only had an hour to prepare this. So, but let's go from verse 13. I want to go from verse 13. So, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Freedom. We live in freedom. If we follow Jesus, if we have put our trust in Jesus and his work on the cross, then we are free. We have freedom, and we can walk in freedom. We are free from, I think it's whatever it says here, I can't remember. We are free from the wages of sin is death. That is not ours. Ours is eternal glory with God because of what Jesus performed and achieved on the cross. Eternal glory is ours. And do you know, I was thinking the other day when the Queen passed away, and I was thinking all of that afternoon, or into the evening it was then, wasn't it? And the next day, thinking, she closed her eyes here in Balmoral, and she opened them in heaven because she was a follower of Jesus. And I thought, that is going to be true for me, it's going to be true for all of us. So we are free. We are free in Jesus. Now, some people talk about this phrase called antinomianism. Do you know that phrase? Dave knows it. Antinomianism. It means basically we're free, therefore we can do exactly whatever we like. Is that right? I want to suggest that Paul is saying here that no, that's not right. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, basically in Jesus. Paul then says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh. Don't use your freedom to live however you want to live. So you've been called to Jesus. There is a calling upon your life. There is a certain way to live once you come to Jesus. And he goes on to say, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, namely, you must love your neighbor as yourself. So don't use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, is what he's saying. But serve one another in love. And this can be serve one another with humility. It could be, I was reading this morning, the bits that I did have a chance to look at, serve one another with humility. This could also read. But the whole law, so Paul seems to be focusing in here on serve one another, serve your brothers and sisters in Jesus, serve them. But then, this is just my thought here, he seems to widen it up, because the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, namely, you must love your neighbour as yourself. So he seems to be widening that out now to saying, love everybody as you love yourself. Sorry, I'll be looking at my notes a little bit. Okay, so he's talking about serving one another. This is what it means to live in freedom in Jesus, is to serve one another. And here it is. So how do I behave? How do I respond in a crisis? It is this, in verse 16. But I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It seems to me that in a crisis, this is the way to respond, to live by the Spirit. Because he says, and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. And then he goes on to say that the flesh is in opposition to the Spirit. And I was thinking about this. So if Paul is saying to us, live by the Spirit, and you won't behave in the flesh, so to speak, I was thinking, what's an analogy for this? And I was just thinking of You know, I think in a squash, I guess. So if you put some squash into a glass and then you fill it with a little bit of water, think of the squash as being the impurity, of the being the flesh, yeah? You put a little bit of water in, you taste it, and it's extremely strong, isn't it? Then you pour some more water in, and the squash dilutes, and then it begins to taste nicer. And then you pour more and more and more and more water in, and you can hardly taste the squash at all, can you? And I was just thinking here, the thought came to my mind of, if we live, because we've all got these tendencies of the flesh, haven't we? You know, as long as we live here, we have these tendencies. But if we live increasingly by the Spirit, then these will be displaced, or in a sense, diluted. Now, hear me correctly. I don't mean that we'll be sinless, because that's only going to happen when we get to glory. But the more that we live in the Spirit and we walk in step with the Spirit, the less we will walk in the flesh. And that will become increasingly diluted. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that a good analogy? Because I'm probably thinking, and I'm no chemist or anything, but I'm thinking of a poison or something. Like, would that get diluted if you pour more and more water in it? It would certainly become weaker, wouldn't it? I would have thought. I'll leave the illustration of squash because I know that better. So this is whole displacement. Paul is saying, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. So what I want to do, let's have a look. What are the works of the flesh? So let me go through these. And I'm thinking, in terms of a crisis, how do you respond normally? I know that I will respond with a bit of anxiety and usually a bit of anger. Is that right, Chris? Is that accurate? Yeah, thanks. So we respond, don't we? And we respond instantly. So here's the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, depravity, idolatry. Let me stop on idolatry a second. So I'd gone down to Swansea yesterday, and then as I was coming back, I needed a new pair of trainers. So I called into MacArthur Glen. And as I was sat there, and I thought, right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a smash and grab, because I hate shopping. So I'm going to go, I'm going to get the trainers, and I'm going to get out. But as I was going in, I sat on a bench, and I was messaging my friend, And the thought that came to me is, because it was a Saturday afternoon, normally when I go to MacArthur Glen, it's in the evening, there's not so many people around. Man, there were people everywhere, and I thought, there's lots of worshippers here today, isn't it? Worshipping at the altar of consumerism. That might sound a bit harsh, but that's ultimately what it is, isn't it? So I was good in that I went to the ASIC shop, I got my trainers, and I came straight out. I guess what these places like you to do is they put this shop up. I'll have a look in there. I managed to stay free of it. So I got these trainers. So Lara now is down in Swansea. So I was saying to her, I dropped her off here yesterday, and then I was speaking to her later on the FaceTime thing. And I said, oh, I got a new trainer. And she said, oh my word, Dad, almost like as if, do you want to talk about your issues, Dad? You know, this is midlife crisis stuff, isn't it? So well, they were just comfortable. But yes, I do understand what you mean, Lara. So you've got idolatry, you've got sorcery, you've got hostilities, which is basically hatred. You've got strife, and I was looking this up, and it says an affection for dispute, a readiness to quarrel. It's almost like as if with this strife thing is, man, I'm looking forward to a good quarrel. I'm looking forward to a good argument. I just wonder. Sometimes I wonder. We've all got to test ourselves, haven't we? Do I sometimes look for that? And if I do, then that's something that needs to be addressed. Jealousy. Literally, this is hot enough to boil. The word has the intention of hot enough to boil. Your jealousy, you know, you can say he's green with envy, but perhaps it's red with bile and boiling because I want that and they've got it and I can't have it. And then here's the big one for me, especially this morning, is outbursts of anger. So the thinking behind the word, or the stuff behind the word is to rush along, getting heated up, breathing violently. So it's this whole thing of something happens, immediately you're, I don't know, to take the analogy of a Porsche or something like that, it goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. Whereas I think we should be more like perhaps an HGV, that we go from 0 to 60 in a minute or whatever. But this is all thing about you blow straight away. Outbursts of anger. Then there's selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envying, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and similar things. So he doesn't end the list there. It's and similar things. And he says this: those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the word practice here is really important, because we're all going to slip up at times, aren't we? We're human, we're going to slip up. But he's talking about making a practice of things. And I can remember when I wasn't a Christian, you know, that Friday and Saturday existed to go out and play rugby and drink as much as you could, you know, and nothing wrong with that. I thought there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Everybody does it here. I become a Christian, I think, that's there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, but it's the drunkenness aspect of the whole thing. So that now is not a practice. Amazingly, when I became a Christian, God seemed to take alcohol away from me. You know, it's never been a problem. But there are plenty of other things that are problems for me. And you may have had something else taken away, but something else that's not common to me is a problem for you, you know? So, but I want to emphasize this is the practice of it. If you're thinking, right, I want to go out tonight, then I want to do this, I want to do that, or I'm going to do this. So it's practicing these things, being almost consciously aware of making choices to do them. It's not slipping up. We will all slip up at times. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you repentance, basically. So, let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. So it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. And this is as I was looking through some stuff this morning, this was like everything done in true partnership with Jesus is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you think of it as being a fruit, the idea came to mind that the Spirit is a tree, and it's not an apple tree or an orange tree, or he is not an apple tree or an orange tree or a banana plant or whatever. But he's this tree which has all of these different fruits growing on them. So he's got an apple growing, he's got a banana growing, he's got an orange growing, a kiwi growing, and so the idea is that we grow in all of these things. Now, what are they? So love, joy, peace, and this peace, I was looking this up and saying, it's like this peace of mind. And you know, I was at a conference yesterday, and this guy said, he said there's two recipes, I can't remember, there's two ingredients for a good night's sleep, but I can't remember the second one, but the first one was a good conscience. If you've got a good conscience and you're at peace, you will sleep well. You will go through life well. Then there's patience. And you know, I just think I'm highlighting outbursts of anger and patience here, because I think that's how I often respond to a crisis, is it'll be an outburst of anger. But he says, well, patience here is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And some of the thoughts that were are around the background for this word in the Greek would be waiting sufficient time before expressing anger. Now, I thought, but he says not to do anger. He says that's a work of the flesh. But I think what this guy meant was you wait a sufficient period of time before expressing anger so that you have a measured response and see things more clearly. Because I don't know about you, but when something happens, you see red, you respond, and all you're doing is an outburst of anger. But when you use the 10-second rule, or I was thinking this morning, maybe the 10-hour rule, you begin to see things in a different light. Yes. Now, the issue may still be there, but you're able to address it in a far more helpful way. But I realise this isn't easy. This is not easy. And do you know, can I just say that this morning, like I went off and to my place, I was going to say my spiritual home, but my this place, and God met me. I've never had that before, where I felt that you're in a position of crisis, and I've been met with a peace and with a joy in that crisis. It is alien to me, but I can only think God has done that. God has come and He's done that. It's quite an astounding thing, to be honest. And what I guess we should live with, and we should expect and want constantly, isn't it? So then he goes on: kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, you could say self-restraint. Only accomplished, but it's only accomplished through the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit, this self-control. So they all go towards this wonderful fruit. So verse 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance with the Spirit." Do you know, you know, every now and then you meet these people who seem to display the full range of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you find that attractive or unattractive? There is something about it, isn't there, that you want to be in that person's company because it's really, really attractive. But when you find somebody, like you can go out on a Saturday night, you know, when I was growing up in Mountain Ash, my Saturday nights, like, you would find lots of these. The works of the Spirit, you know, in amongst people, especially as they'd add more and more and more to drink, you'd find lots of those. And the list is extensive, isn't it? And Paul is saying, and similar things, so there's even more. But there's only 9 fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm sure there's probably more characteristics of a godly life than these 9. But these encapsulate it. And when you see these people, when you meet these people, you think, I want to be like that. And even people who display all of these things, you know, the rugby boys, you know, I'm hard, you know, and all the rest of it, when they come across people like this, they love it. They will respect people who are walking in step with the Spirit. So let me come back around to where I started. So come to a crisis. So when you come to a crisis, my default point is an outburst of anger. It is panic. It is anxiety. It is a lack of self-control. But amazingly, my response this morning was an outburst of anger. And amazingly, God calmed me down. And as even as I sought Him, it's truly astounding. It really is. So, I don't want to suggest this 10-second rule, but it could turn into a 10-hour rule. that you don't respond initially to something, because in my experience, if you do respond initially, a lot of the time you'll respond in the wrong way. That's hard. It is really hard. But I want to just say to you anyway, consider the fruit of the Spirit as the way to live and to grow and to seek to grow increasingly in these. Maybe memorize them and just think to yourself, every morning when I wake up, maybe have a list of them or something and just say, Lord, please help me, because it is through God's help. Otherwise, we're going to fail, aren't we? But it is through God's help. Lord, please help me to display these in the way that I live each day. Please help me to put on more love, on more joy, on more peace, on more patience, on more kindness, on more goodness, on more faithfulness, on more gentleness. And please help me to be self-controlled, self-restraint. I was thinking that maybe we could, only if you feel comfortable, but maybe we could pray. Pray for situations that you may know of. Pray for this heart of wanting to walk more and more in the Spirit. But please don't feel obligated, and I'll close the whole thing. Is that all right? Are you coming up to do another song after? Yeah? Okay. I'll close the whole thing then from the prayer, and then Dave will come up and sing. But I also, don't feel obligated, but I also want to say as well, so there's this lady who was in our church down in Nelson years ago, and I started doing some preaching, you know, and I don't know whether she's seen a nervousness in me at one point, but she came up to me, and she could be quite stern on that, but she came up to me, she put her hand on my arm, and she said, Neil, I just want you to know you're amongst friends. And I thought, oh, what a lovely thing to say. So guys, I want to be Betty to you this morning, and I want to say, you're amongst friends, guys. Nobody is judging you. Just pray if you feel led on this. So I'll leave it open, and then I'll pray to finish off.
Father God, we want to thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that your word teaches us about. We want to thank you, Lord, that though we may struggle with our flesh, though we may struggle with indwelling sin, though we may struggle with our old nature, that you, by your grace, are willing to move into us, Lord, to take up residence in our hearts and to plant this fruit, Lord, that can grow, this fruit that can make us more and more like your beloved Son, that can give us love and joy and peace, Lord, against the struggles and difficulties of the world. That it can help us, Lord, to look back on the person that we were before and understand that we were just obeying our old nature. And Lord, help us also to not judge those outside the church, Lord. Help us to understand that for those who don't know Christ, they have no fruit of the Spirit. They don't know you, Lord. They don't know the peace that you can offer. They don't know the joy that you can offer. So Father God, help us to live these things, help us to dwell on these things, help us to walk in these truths, help us to reflect all of the wondrous gifts that you've given, Lord. Help us to display those to the world so that we might be a walking testimony to everything you are and everything that you promise. Lord, we pray that this fruit would grow within each one of us. Lord, we pray that you draw closer and closer to you through this fruit.
Lord, we all know that you have a plan for our lives. And there are times definitely in my life where I struggle to see that plan and know why you planned that path for me. And Lord, I just ask that in those moments that you stand there beside us all and help us to exercise those fruits that you so willingly give to us, to help us exercise that patience and that willingness to just sometimes stand there and let the inevitable happen, but to give us that peace and that understanding that even though we don't get it and we don't understand it, that it is your plan and there's a reason for it. And we ask that you just help us to feel your love in those moments.
Lord, I pray that the fruit of the Spirit grows in each of us. And that first book of call each morning is to look to you. As we all go through our struggles, and each of us go through different struggles each day. But as Neil said, just put our trust in you and grow. And just resist the struggles that come our way, for us to hand over to you, Lord. And grow each day and respond in the flesh, in the spirit, not the flesh. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that my family and my unsaved friends will see you in me, in the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray especially for kindness.
I just thank you that with you there is always a way back. And I thank you, Father, that your word says that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And Lord, they may be formed, but Lord, they will not prosper. And we look to you, Father God, help me. Help me to live closer to you, Lord. To just live by your Spirit, Father God. I just thank you for who you are. Thank you that in you this morning we can be free. Lord, and I just give you the glory and the praise.
Amen. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you for who you are and for what you've done, that you've given us this freedom, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to walk in it, Lord, to walk in the freedom. But there are constraints of that freedom and there are boundaries of that freedom. But within those boundaries are these fruit of the Spirit. And there is so much joy there. And so, Father, please help us, Lord. We are all people in need of change. We're all a work in progress. And we thank you that you are patient with us, Lord. You are extremely patient with us. I just think at times that you should have written me off a long time ago. And yet you don't, and you haven't. And Lord, that is truly astounding. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to put our trust and our reliance on you, Lord. And I pray that you would grow in us, Lord. You would help us to walk in the Spirit, walk in step with your Spirit, Lord, so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh, but that we live the fruit of the Spirit. So please help us, Lord, in this. But Lord, we want to give thanks that you are more than capable of helping us in this. And you are the one who keeps us, Lord. So we just thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop, yeah?
Yeah.
everyone stop.